Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi from Fred Film Radio, still at the Torino Festival, and here with a huge delegation. Well, not huge, just three people, but kind of a delegation for the film Wexford Plaza. We have Joyce Wong, the director. Good morning, Joyce.
Buongiorno.
And Matt Grayson and Harry Cherniak, which are the producers.
Morning.
So, let's start with the director, which is the most important person here in this room. After me, of course. I mean, Joyce, how can you approach that story? Because it was a complex and not so obvious way of telling a story, the one that you chose. Because if you see the movie, the very first part, you think, you imagine one thing, and then as the Danny part starts, you just understand much, much more than what you thought. So it was a weird, not weird, weird in a good sense, way of telling story. Mm-hmm. How did you choose that?
Well, basically, it came from how I want to kind of represent the characters I was working with. Like, because this story is based on the people I grew up with, and what, like, from an outsider, you look at these people making bad decisions, and you're trying to figure out, oh, why are they doing what they're doing, right? And so the answer to that is because there's no context, right? They don't know what the bigger picture is, right? And I think all of us, like in our youth, like we do things
totally
like that too, you know? Like when we don't know what the context is, you create actions that make no sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so I felt that in order for the audience to truly understand that, you needed to kind of split the stories like that. So first you give her idea of the story, and then you give his to give it context. And so so it was mainly to understand the confusion in the characters. Mm-hmm.
So the story is based on something that you knew, or maybe or stories that you already heard from friends, or it was all made up? The actual plot, I mean.
Well, it was, so I grew up in those areas, so mm-hmm. on the outskirts of the main city. So there's a big city where there's culture, there's business, there's like, you know, everything. And then on the outskirts, there's these forgotten suburbs, right? Mm-hmm. Like they might not necessarily be like, some of them are a bit destitute, and but others, it's just this idea of like forgotten and loneliness, right? And so the story for the security guard actually came from one of my best friends in high school. She actually had a job like that, mm-hmm. and they would literally, these private security companies, right? Probably for insurance reasons, you know, you have these people that are working this job that you don't really do anything.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a job that is not a job.
Yeah.
It's just wasting time.
Yeah.
8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, the feeling that I got is, beside the story, I mean, but the atmosphere is a kind of desperate one, kind of with no exit, with no potential development or no potential growth in any way.
Yeah.
Is it true? Is it exactly like it is? I mean, in those areas where you are telling about?
Yeah, like, I mean, yes and no, because I feel like there's always a chance. But a lot of the times, people exaggerate how big the chance are. Like, there is this hope where if you're lucky, because of you know, because of like pure luck or because of connections, you're able to kind of improve your situation. But most of the time, it's not the case, right? And so I feel like right now there's a lot of this like kind of self-help, like, kind of movement and like a lot of these people that tell everyone that, you know, just as long as you try hard, you're gonna make it, you're gonna get yourself out of this desperation, right? Mm-hmm. And it just lies, and the thing is, it's better to know what the context, and so you're prepared to, you know, be happy with like certain kind of things rather than be like sold on this, like, you know, these ideas of trying hard and being successful, like trying really hard and being able to get to success, but then you come crashing down, and I think that's kind of like the folly, like,
yeah,
in
yeah.
that kind of...
Yeah, society gives you, creates too many expectations from you, and then you cannot fulfill them, and then you crash under those unfulfillment. Even if maybe you could do something else.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
be
exactly.
happy in another way, but not in the way that society asks you about. Yeah, you're right. I have a question for the producers, so I don't know who's going to ask, who's going to reply then, but how did you get attached to this project, and what caught you of this project, you know, to have your...
Oh, I've known Joyce for close to a decade. We went to film school together. But we started talking about this project about 3 years ago. And I think that Joyce has a really intimate voice that can be very specific about one or two characters, but speaks to a much broader audience. I mean, she's speaking about her experiences in Scarborough, Ontario, but I feel like anyone who watches this film that's under the age of 35 knows exactly what these characters feel like. We're at such an interesting time right now where a whole generation has these ideas of what they think adult life should be, but it's probably not going to be fulfilled. Most of us won't have a home and a car and, you know, all these things that our parents had. And I think Joyce has really tapped into something that is so empathetic, that is both sad and sweet at the same time.
Yeah, right.
And I think as soon as we started talking about this project, I knew it's something we had to make together.
Yeah, and I think I come to it from an interesting perspective in that I was just reminiscing with Joyce that, I mean, I've known her for about 15 years now because a friend of mine who is also a writer-director, I've produced his stuff and been friends with him for that long, and they met at film school. And so I was actually attached to the project after it was almost entirely filmed already. And I'd seen a cut, and there was some more work to be done in terms of the creative angle, but it was pretty far along. And I basically knew I had to get involved the moment I saw the cut, because although it wasn't the version you would have seen, it was so inherent in what I saw. Everything that Matt just described, but beyond that, the way it touched me was that I really come to a different conclusion from it, maybe, than what Matt described, simply that although we're facing these new challenges and you know, the generation who's one ahead of us sort of talks about the lazy young people. And I think it's such a fallacy, because really, at least in North America, that generation
benefited,
but they were the first generation to really benefit from peace and to benefit from a social contract where there was a social welfare system and they get their pensions, and now it's the next generation that is going to be paying for that. And anyway, so to me, to see this film, it encompassed all of those things Matt spoke about and what I just said there. But I still saw a great hope to it. And I saw an optimism in the fact that in the end, our characters are doing what they think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And although it might not end to the anticipated or intended results, it brings them on a path where they're learning who they are and what the world is in which they live. And for me, that leaves me so optimistic, with hope that maybe Betty's decisions weren't the best in this film, but her life goes on. We don't know what her next decisions will be and where they'll lead her. And so in any case, back to the question of why involved, I mean, for all those reasons, I mean, I knew Joyce, but not so much through her work. And I just see her as such an amazing, fresh voice that I knew I wanted to be a part of and help in any way I could.
Wow, you have good friends here. Very good friends. It's good to have friends in the movie business. You know, it helps a lot. Listen, Joyce, my last question is about the perfect casting that you made with Betty, with the actress playing Betty, because she is, like, perfect. I mean, she's the... How did you meet her, and why did you choose her?
I think it took us a really long time to find someone that had that vulnerability, but also could kind of... play the, like, that hardness that she has to kind of put up with the other security guards convincingly as well. And also, like, someone who kind of embodies that loneliness and sadness, but still has presence and not, like, fade into the back and disappear.
Yeah, and not being a victim, because she's not a victim at the end. She's pretty strong.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We basically found her in a small town an hour outside of Toronto. And she was, her day job was dog grooming, like, you know, poodles and St. Bernards and stuff like that. And she had given up trying to find commercial work as an actress because she didn't feel like her body type was a very popular choice. And so this kind of we kind of found her, and she decided to kind of, you know, give one last like try at the kick at the can, you know. And that's how she became involved in the film.
Well, luckily she did it.
Yeah.
Because she would have been, she was exactly the perfect character for that character. Yeah. Actually, absolutely. Okay, yeah, you have.
Well, I just want to also touch upon Daryl, who is our other lead, who is an established theater actor in Toronto, and you know, there's not a lot of roles for Asian actors in North America. So Joyce wrote this film with an Asian actor in mind, and Daryl right away embodied not only this character, but really helped shape the direction of this film.
So. Yeah, I think he's a very good actor because he gives this kind of desperation at some point, because he tries so hard, and then he cannot make it, and then he has to set up for something that he would have never done. So it's, which is what most of the people are forced to do, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in this gray days we're living in. So thank you very much for being with us. Thank you to Joyce Wong, to Matt Grayson, and to Harry Cherniak of the movie Wexford Plaza. In the Festa Mobile section here at the Torino Film Festival. I'm Angela Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.